Take a breath.
Well, I have to tell all of you, you get an A+ for rapport, because you guys are so in rapport as a group. It's
nice to watch.
It is. It's nice to watch. I love it. It's great.
So we want to talk about beliefs, and in particular, limiting beliefs. And just to start out, if you think about a belief, how would you define that? What is a belief? What you know is true. I was listening to this thing the other day from somebody. They were talking about, you know, it's not a belief, it's I know it. But a belief is something you hold to be true. It's your reality. It's an assumption you're making. It's the way you think about things.
Is it conviction?
A conviction. Yeah. It is a conviction. It's some beliefs are going to be conscious, and some beliefs are going to be more unconscious, but they still make up your reality. Opinions, I usually call conscious beliefs opinions. You have an opinion about some. How many of you have political opinions? And you know what they are. And when you're faced with the opposite ones, it's annoying or aggravating or something, right? So, yes.
Situation with beliefs. It was very recently on Facebook. I came over a friend's page and they posted a link about all the typical beliefs that a person that is depressed would have. So things like life is hard, everybody around me doesn't, I'm not liked, and stuff like that. I can't trust people. People are bad. They're always out to get me, which are very typical beliefs for a lot of people actually to hold. The moment that I scrolled into the comments, exactly what you're basically describing now. Well, yeah, life is hard. So, what it's saying here, the whole article doesn't mean anything because this is true. Well, yeah, that's the point that it's pointing out, that everybody holds that true typically doesn't have a very happy life.
Yeah. Well, you can have beliefs at a lot of different levels.
Right.
So, if you think about, where do your beliefs come from? Okay, we have, somebody said culture. So we have beliefs from our culture, right, our bigger culture. You know, and beliefs about the level of knowledge, the state of knowledge in our culture. I mean, if you think back a while back ago, at least in Europe, the idea was the earth was flat. And at some place you'd fall off the edge. And people were worried about Columbus's ships just disappearing into wherever they went. Interestingly, though, that was a very strong belief. And in some of the, at least one of the universities in Germany was still teaching the world was flat, like 40 years after Columbus discovered America, or, you know, just made the European discovery of the American continents. So beliefs are, you know, often, once a belief's in there, that's what people operate from. So it's an idea you hold to be true. So we can have cultural beliefs, beliefs that are the level of our culture. And if you look back through time, you'll see how beliefs change. You know, we've been in the last 100 years very materialistic beliefs. You know, it's not something we can't register with our eyes or ears or prove scientifically. We don't know that it exists, and even though our experience is the opposite of that. So we go through these different cultural kind of mythological periods.
And some examples of cultural beliefs might be, like in Japan, there's a belief that the tallest nail gets hammered down. So you don't want to, you know, rise up and above, or else you'll get hammered down. So cultural beliefs are these beliefs that are about the culture, I mean, within the culture. There's also something called transgenerational beliefs. And what those are beliefs that are carried down through the family line. And so a lot of times when I'm working with a client and they're feeling stuck in their life, or they're just at some impasse, then a lot of times I'll start going after their limiting beliefs. But not only that, I'll start asking them about their parents' background, or even grandparents. You know, is the pattern that you're experiencing in your life right now, did your parents have that same pattern? So, for example, if a client has, you know, a pattern that life is hard, it's complicated, then, you know, one of their parents had that same belief, life is complicated, and you can start taking that back. So those are what are called transgenerational beliefs.
So once a belief, somebody forms a belief in a family system, often it gets unconsciously taught to the later ones that follow. I had a woman who was, she came to see me because she would get into a relationship and then she'd do something to sabotage it. So she could never have the love relationship she wanted. And it turns out she had this fear of kind of fear of abandonment. And so she had looked around her personal history for a long time, couldn't find anything. So we did some age regression kinds of things. There's nothing in her history. So we went back to her mother. And it turns out her mother's father disappeared when she was 12 years old. It just took off. And in the generation prior to that, there was her grandmother had lost both parents in some kind of accident. So this sense of abandonment was in the system, and probably they had unconsciously taught her, you know, you're going to get left, or you won't, you know, somehow you aren't going to be able to keep the one you find, so they'll leave you. And so with that kind of fear going on, that kept her from having the relationship that she wanted. So sometimes these, I call them the family curse. You can trace them back a long time in a family system.
I had a client who...
Horacio, did you have a
comment? Oh, go ahead, Horacio.
Yeah, there's a funny one, limiting belief or in the family. My father was the third in line of many brothers and sisters, and his dad had died at the third in line early in age of cancer. And so he was around 49, 50. He started talking about, well, I'm the third in line, and I won't live that long. And I was at school out here, and he basically, at 53, got a heart attack, which indicated lung cancer. And he eventually did die as a third in line at 55. Mm. And, you know, I'm the third in line as well. And if I'm living a lot healthier or whatever. My story's totally different. But it's interesting that he really started to worry and get anxious about it.
Yeah.
And he just, my mom said at that age, he started to get very anxious at night. And it's interesting how
that's really
that a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's surprisingly common, too.
That's
very common for that kind of thing.
I talked about my brother, bless his heart, the 37-year-old one that passed away. And we had the same mom but different dads. And my brother, Doug, his biological father died when Doug was 6 years old. The biological's father died when his father was six. So the grandfather died when, you know, the son was six, and then the son's son, you know, he died when that son was six. So when my brother's son was 5 years old, I told Tim, I'm worried about Doug, and Doug had always had a belief that he would die early. And you know, sure enough, about a month after his son's sixth birthday, he passed away. And so we do have these family beliefs. We have transgenerational beliefs. We have, you know, beliefs that are formed from childhood experiences.
We call them imprint experiences. And there's a lot to it. We could spend 2 days talking about it. But there are different windows of time when you have to resolve certain issues, or you often develop beliefs about them, either positively or negatively. And there's a lot written on that, and we'll probably allude to some of it. But you can have experiences that lead to beliefs, obviously. Sometimes just information or misinformation lead to different beliefs that people have. So we live in a world of misinformation now, I think, with the internet, and people develop all these beliefs. I get these livid letters from a relative of mine about the president, you know, oh, the president's doing this and this. So I go on Snopes, and they said that's an urban myth, and so I wrote her back and I said, well, that's an urban myth. And she said, well, I don't trust that Snopes. You know, I trust my sources on Fox News, you know. Okay. But it's not always accurate. Yeah.
I see a lot of people rely on the horoscopes, like daily horoscope, monthly horoscope, and yeah. They just lock themselves into believing
sure.
What they read instead of just seeing the possibility.
We can have all kinds of superstitions too, right? Yeah. And the daily horoscopes are kind of vague too, right? Rather than, yes.
This idea of transgenerational beliefs, when I was in my MBA program several years ago, my focus is in marketing and strategy. And there was a series of classes that we had to take, and it was very interesting. they had pulled out African Americans, Asian Americans, and Latino Americans, and really did a bunch of research on how do you market to these people and how do you segment that market and all of that. And the professor who taught the African American section really spoke about how black families do something. This is an extreme overgeneralization, but black families do something that the people who are studying this call training for blackness. So preparing young black kids on how to be black in America and what comes at them from non-black people. And so as you talked about that, it sort of came back to me with this transgenerational sort of, this is what you need to be ready for, which, you know, I think is probably a reality.
Well, you see it in many cultures, Lonnie. I have worked with a lot of Middle Eastern women and Afghani women, and there is so much in the Middle Eastern culture about how women are and their identity at that, and it is so deeply ingrained. So in a sense, you do see these transgenerational beliefs, and you also see these cultural type beliefs, and that's an example of a cultural belief as well. So it's amazing the way that they impact us.